We want to be ready. We want to be ready for Him. We want to be made beautiful for Him, presentable before His throne of grace. Washed in the blood of Jesus, our garments spotless. Amen. He purifies. He makes you holy. You can't make yourself holy. God makes you holy. You got to trust Him. You got to go after Him. You got to seek Him. In His presence, there is peace. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. In His presence is fullness of love. In His presence, there is the love that casts out all fear. And we'll have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He was in this world, so are we, and we abide in His love, His agape love. Thank you, Lord. God wants a family, folks. He wants a family. He didn't die on that cross for a congregation, but for a family. And today I want to just explain a little bit about the difference between the two. And we need to ask ourselves that question: which one am I? Am I truly the body of Christ, or am I just an observer or an attendee? I don't want to be just an observer. I don't want to be an attendee. I want to be a member of the body of Christ. And there's a difference, folks. And God is calling us into fellowship with Him. And that's where everything begins. Are we connected with life? Have we encountered life or not? Not have we done enough good to outweigh the wrong, but are we in life? It's a matter of life and death, see? The tree of life was there in the midst, also the garden. But they chose knowledge. And knowledge is simply an understanding that, yes, now I am capable of all kinds of evil, because I've opened myself up to it. And yes, there is good as well, but it's not a matter of good and evil, folks. Otherwise, we're living according to just the rule that we set for ourselves, or the rule of the law, which by which no one could be justified. So God says, come to me. Jesus had come to me for life. You've been tired, you've been weary, you've been beat down with religion and performance and trying to be good enough and wondering if you ever have made the grade yet. How good is good enough? You know, anybody been that place where I wondered if I'm good enough, have I made it? Jesus didn't come to give us rules, He came to give us a relationship. And those rules were to point out the fact that we couldn't live up to the standard of God, and we would need mercy. We would need grace. We would need Him. And then when you come to Christ and you fully plunge in faith into His arms and surrender yourself, I'm not talking about giving Him some spare change on the weekend. I'm talking about surrender your life to Jesus. Then you pass from death into life, and you encounter His resurrection life in you. Changes everything, your perspective, your desires. He begins to make His will your desire. And what a wonderful relationship we have in the Lord. It's a matter of life and death, not good and evil. Amen? Amen. Are we seeing that, right? It's a person, and it's a relationship with the living God. As Adam walked with the Lord in the cool of the day, and fellowship. In order for us to have fellowship, it requires that we bow our soul to Him who has made Himself accessible. He's made Himself available to us, but we have to bow ourselves and bow our soul, and so we can meet Him in the place of fellowship or intimacy. We can have peace, you know, because we're just kind of getting along, you know. We've got peace right now. But what the Father wants is He wants fellowship. And He wants us to also have that kind of fellowship with one another. As we yield our will to one another, then we come into harmony. If you've ever sung in sang in a choir or a group and you've sang different parts, harmony, you realize that in order for that harmony to be beautiful, everyone has to yield to the other. And we have to meet in that sweet spot where there is unity. And we have harmony with one another in the Spirit as each one of us are yielding our soul to Christ, amen, to the Spirit. I've said this before, but you don't tune a piano to another piano, but you tune a piano to a tuning fork, a standard that doesn't change. And then you can play two pianos on the same stage and they'll sound beautifully. But if you try tuning like four or five pianos to one piano, by the time you get done, it's not going to be quite right, is it? But if you tune each piano to the same standard, then you can have beautiful music together. They'll be in harmony. So Father God wants us to be in harmony with one another and with Him. And it comes through the fact that we have been given access now to the throne of grace. And if we go there and we find our standard there, we are calibrated by the Spirit of God, then we have fellowship. We have unity, and we will make beautiful music. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you will have love one for another. And we're not talking about a superficial surface love. We're talking about genuine love, amen, that is from the heart in the Spirit, who unites us all together as one. Amen. So that was my message this morning. We can all go home. You know, again, He is the one who calibrates us together and brings us into true unity. The nations of the world are attempting to create peace through negotiation, you know, through just kind of standing around in a circle and saying, "We are the world, we are the people," and then dropping bombs the next week, you know. There's no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked, and the heart of man is desperately wicked. And so there needs to be a transformation of the heart of all of us. And God works from the inside out, amen? Amen? We can paint the barn and make it look beautiful on the outside, but it might be full of dead bones on the inside, you know what I'm saying? So we want God to change our lives and change our hearts. If your heart changes, then everything else begins to come into order. And, you know, God, he's not so concerned about how we look on the outside, amen? He just doesn't want us to dress offensively, right, in a way where it's going to cause someone to stumble. You know what I'm saying, ladies and guys, right? But it's not about the outward appearance. It's about the beauty of the heart. And He wants to make us beautiful on the inside. But like Annie said, you know, you got to let the curtains, you got to open the curtains to the Holy Spirit. Let God do it. Let Him have you. Let Him have all of you. You cannot fix yourself. I can't fix you and I can't fix me. But God can. Amen. Amen? And He is fixing us. If we're yielding to Him, He's doing that work. Hallelujah. And even if we're sons and daughters, you know, we can only run so far anyways. And sometimes Papa gets a big stick. But because He loves us, you know. But I always had this, on Wednesday night I talked about, you know, how we view God and the Father's heart. And you can get it should be on the net. But often our view of God is based upon, you know, our experiences in life. Our experiences that we've had with authority often determines how we feel about God, what God must be like. If my parents were this way, or, you know, my teacher was this way, then God must be the same way. We often have a very distorted view of what God is really like. And I don't know about you, but I really want to know the true God. I want to know what He's really like. Not even what other people are saying about Him, but I want to know who He is personally. And because Jesus can be presented in so many ways, there are different types of Jesus is being presented, you know. But then there is the true Jesus of the Bible, and He's the one we really want to know. There's a difference between a congregation and a body. In the Old Testament, you know, Israel might have been referred to as God's people or a congregation, but never do you see the word body used in relationship to the people of Israel. The people of Israel were the ones that God chose to represent him in the earth under the old covenant. They had an external unity. They were able to get together, do things together, sing together, fight together. But it was an external relationship. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, you and I have the privilege of being joined together in the Spirit internally. So there's an internal and external connection in the body of Christ. And that is necessary. And it's not something that we can do because we make our best effort, however we should try, but it's a work of grace on the heart. It's the fire, if you will, of God that melts us into one lump. On the day of Pentecost, as they were assembled together, and they were all seeking the Lord together, externally they were united. And then suddenly, amen, the sound as of a mighty rushing wind, and the wind of God's Spirit blew in, and tongues of fire appeared upon each head, and they were all, what, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was like God took 120 pieces of iron, melted them down into what's now called a body. From all different nations, representatives were together, gathered in that strategic place that God appointed to birth his church. So now in the new covenant, we have what's called a body. And the question that I ask is, how do we move from being a congregation to a body? Because I think we'll agree with this, is that in so many cases, churches have become simply an entertainment center, where we have great music and we have the famous personality in some cases, and people will say, I follow after Oral Roberts, or I follow after Billy Graham, or I follow after this person. And we chase after personalities, and it almost becomes like a personality cult. Like, this is my favorite celebrity. What's your favorite celebrity? You know? And it can become a form of entertainment where people come, they gather. Nobody really knows anybody, but we just kind of like, you know, we sit next to the guy and say, how's it going? Hey, we'll shake hands and we'll smile. But we never really came with the heart attitude of, I want to connect in the Spirit with my brothers and sisters. And we want to worship the head, who is Jesus Christ. I pray it's not that way here, but in some cases it becomes what's happening down front, the things that are going on over there, and everybody's kind of the spectator. And, you know, I believe that we are being developed in this church into a body where there is authentic love for one another. We're being melted in the fires, if you will, and brought together. And it doesn't happen overnight. But it is a work of grace, but we have to have an attitude that I want to be assimilated into God's family and not just be a congregant, you know. For example, you can go to a movie theater and watch a movie. Everybody has the same idea, you know, the same goal. Let's go watch that movie we heard about. So we sit. And we don't know anybody around us, but we're all kind of gathered for the same purpose. There's no fellowship there, folks. It's just a congregation, a gathering of people with similar interests. What God desires is for us to be one, to be family, to be united in the Spirit by the standard that he has set for us. And that standard is Christ, the Lord. He is the one that we are to pattern after and live according to his law that's written in our hearts. So in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to start with verse 11, and we're going to go through 16, but I really want us to focus on verse 16. And he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. You understand that all five of those are important for what reason? To bring us into unity of the faith and what? Of the knowledge of the Son of God, that we're thinking and basically speaking the same thing, to a mature or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ being our goal, we want to be conformed into his image. That why? Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There are many people that are led astray by the charlatans and the tricksters that are out there, often even in the pulpits, that are taking people for a ride. And immaturity is accepting or just swallowing pretty much everything you hear. You know, a child, you can tell a child just about anything, and they usually will accept that as being true because it came from an adult, someone that is supposed to be trusted. And unfortunately, that's not the case. And children, eventually they grow up and they realize, I can't believe everything I hear from people, you know? And I need to use caution. And when I hear something, I really need to check it out to make sure it's a fact. And so it is with the Lord, you know, and his word doesn't change, but people twist it, people change it. And there are those who use people as merchandise. They want people basically to follow after them and not after Christ. And that's where you get your cult followings, you know. People follow after, again, personalities that may have often some demonic power that they think is God's power. And so, again, God wants us to grow up, to come to the knowledge of the truth, so that when we know what is authentic, we won't be fooled by the fake. And so God gave us his word, and we want to study, and we want to grow, and we want to work together to build one another up. And in verse 15 it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, if we have the example in the New Testament of this physical body, so it's a good way for us to understand how this works. Now, we are held together, really, invisibly, by things that we don't see. Let's put it that way. Some of you have seen the videos on lanolin, is it, and how it's even in the shape of a cross, and how actually that's what's holding us together. You know, at the molecular or the subatomic, well, I don't know if it's a molecular level, I think, right? Cellular, thank you. But anyways, God is the one who holds us together. You know, the earth, the moon, the stars, everything is held together by the word of God. God spoke it and it exists. He decided that you and I were going to be here today, that we're going to be on this planet, and that we were going to look like we do. We were going to be born where we were. We were going to grow up where we grew up. God determined those things, folks. I'm not saying that God is to be blamed for the bad things that happened to us, because it's not his fault. It's a result of the sin. But God has placed us where he designed for us to be. Now, having said that, if you think about your body, and remember the song we used to sing when we were kids, the ankle bones connected to the, you know, the knee bone or whatever, and I don't know my anatomy, so. But it's we're held together inside, and we have skin, amen? But we're held together inside. And so we see a perfect example of God's heart in the way that we were designed physically. And this is where he wants us to be spiritually. So interconnected, so united, that we're in perfect harmony. When your body is healthy, you have perfect harmony. Everything works properly. You know, you don't beat your leg, right? Because it hurts. You know, you don't kick yourself unless there's something wrong. Because it hurts. Your hands can work beautifully together if they're connected to the head. Jesus is the head of the church. And the church works beautifully, wonderfully, perfectly when each member is connected to the head. Now, if you've been injured and something happens to maybe your spine or maybe a part of your neck, people have had paralysis, you know? Say, for example, your arm is paralyzed. It's because there's a disconnect from the head. Are you hearing me? And so there are members in Christ, okay, that are paralyzed because of a disconnect. In other words, they have lost their usefulness. My hand could have an infection. And thank God I have another hand that I could use to minister to that part that's infected. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what the body's for, to help each other, right? And to minister to one another. And so if I don't deal with that infection right away, then it begins to spread. And once it begins to spread, then that sickness, that disease begins to flow into the rest of my body. And people can die from an infection in their hand. It started out in their hand, but if they don't deal with it, it could go into their body and kill them. Are you hearing me today?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's two things that are important for us, folks. Number one is we need to have a healthy body. And we need power. I can have a hand that basically is not diseased, but if it has no power, guess what? It's also useless, or it's of little value. So we need to have health, and we need power, both, to be effective members of the body of Christ. And in some cases, we're just constantly talking about the health, but we don't talk about the power. Or we talk about the power, but we're not talking about the health. Are you hearing me? And both are equally important. You need holiness in your life. You need purity in your life. But you need God's power too. Together, you become an effective member of God's body. In Romans 13 and verse 8, Paul said, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." You know, if we are healthy in our minds, then it's only natural for us to want to take care of ourselves. How many would say it's a good thing to take care of yourself, that you should? You should take care of your body. But if there's a problem, if there's a disconnect somewhere, then we won't feel that's that important. And we can let, if you will, ourselves go. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, "Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." 1 Peter 1:22, "Since you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." 1 John 3:11, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should." 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is God's heart, folks, is that we love one another, to love another. And again, folks, we don't want to, what God wants is a family of people who are united in Him, who love one another and demonstrate His love to the world. When we love each other in Christ, the world sees the reality of the kingdom in demonstration. It goes beyond just saying, I love you, doesn't it? We need to do things. At times we need to be very deliberate, and we need to do things in a tangible way to help each other, to love one another. When we love each other with pure hearts, then we are in a healthy family relationship. And when the body is healthy, there is great effectiveness in reaching people who are outside of the family at this point. At one time, every one of us was outside the family. And what is everybody really looking for? You know? What is everybody really looking for? Everybody is really looking for acceptance, to be a part of something bigger than themselves, to know that they are loved, that they have value. And God does this work of uniting us together in the spirit of His love. As each individual here walks with Christ, has a personal connection to the head, as we all connect and stay connected to Christ daily, then when we come together, there is beautiful harmony. There's music that we make. Amen? And the world sees something that they're not going to see in a congregation. God didn't call us to be a congregation. He called us to be a body. And because we are a body, every part of your body, we may not feel, well, what have I got to offer, or how important am I? You're very important. How many know that even a fingernail is an important part of your body? It's a little member, but boy, if you've ever stripped that thing off, or you hit that thing against something, you know, if that fingernail comes off, it hurts. And sometimes, you know, your whole body hurts because of, you know, you hurt your finger. And that's the way it's supposed to be. If we're abiding in the Lord, in the love of God, then we have authentic, genuine love for each other, and we take care of each other. If we're dysfunctional and we're disconnected from the head, or if there's disease in a member of the body, it can affect the other members of the body. Are you hearing me? We can end up abusing one another, hitting each other, hurting yourself. When I hurt a brother or sister, I'm actually hurting myself. When I disregard a brother or sister, when I don't care about them, I'm not caring about myself either. Because we're members of the same family, the same body. Does this make sense? Do you understand the difference between a congregation where people can come with similar interests? We can go and we can watch, as Neil Diamond years ago wrote a song, The Gospel Show. You go to the gospel show. You know, folks, in a lot of ways, he was right, even though he didn't know God. He was right in that sometimes that's all the church has become, is my favorite show or my form of entertainment that I go to on the weekend, where I get this thing. This thing goes down in the front, and when I'm done, I go home, and, you know, after I've had a belly full of popcorn and call it a day. But God called us together to be a family, to have genuine concern, to be together when we gather, to be united. For what reason? Because the body must be together in order to function effectively and efficiently. It's not okay if I'm saying, well, I'm only the hand and I'm not that important. They won't miss me. Are we connecting with this? Do you understand? That if something, if a member is missing, then it does affect. I've done a very graceful thing the other day. I was looking this way and walking that way, and I went off the sidewalk, and I munched a couple fingers really good. And if you can see, they're all bent up right here. I think I have to have them, something done to them. I don't know. Amputated maybe, but... But they hurt, and they're messed up. And, you know, I'm a guitar player, so I'm fortunate it wasn't this hand. But I'm limited now as to what I can do because, yeah, they're small members, but, boy, they sure make a difference. And I find myself grabbing for something, or shaking somebody's hand, and you always got some guy with a vice grip hand, you know, out there. I say, hey, how's it going, brother? And you're like, ah! You know, that was okay a few weeks ago, but not now. But... You know, it's a reminder to me, though, of how important every member is to us in our own bodies, and so it is in Christ's body. And that's why Jesus wants us to gather. That's why Jesus wants us to minister to each other. Amen? Take what He has given you, that which each joint supplies, Paul said in Ephesians. Each joint supplies something that is vital to the operation of the body. And that goes even beyond these walls and what we are doing today gathered here. We are a body, yes, and God is bringing together a body, but the body of Christ is much bigger, amen, the New Horizons. We are part of something much bigger than we are. So God has called us to a family. Now, I want to talk about this. When we are connected internally by the Spirit, then we have true fellowship. Again, fellowship is when two minds or wills yield. If one is exalting itself above another, it causes disunity. Amen? But when we both yield and we meet, we bow our souls, we come into fellowship. You know, when you're with somebody and you're just hanging out and enjoying each other's company, and you're not competing, you're not trying to outdo each other, you know, that's pride. But when we're just together and we're like just hanging out and talking and sharing, you know, it's beautiful. How many like that kind of fellowship? When we're just kind of hanging out together and we're talking, and we can be honest, we can be open, but there's no competition there because why? We're the same body. It would be ridiculous, you know, for my hand to compete against my foot. My hand can't do what my foot can do. So my hand has to appreciate the foot and what the foot does. But the foot cannot expect the hand to be the foot either. But each member in its place, functioning, working together, we accomplish the will of God, and that is to show Christ to the world, to demonstrate His love to the world. Together we can do this. And that's my prayer as a pastor. I'm always praying, Lord, how can we assimilate everyone into the body, because we have a body here. We do have a body, and God is growing a body here. But we want to go from congregation to just participants or spectator to being a part of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And together we can do much more as we're unified than we can as individuals. Because you may say, well, I'm a hand and I'm just going to do my hand thing over here. But if you disconnect from the body, what happens is that hand will very quickly wither and it will die because it's no longer connected. Because the body is first connected and then what? And then everything is connected into the head, who is Christ. So I want you to lead today with something. You can just think about this, that this is what God's heart is. This is what God wants. His eye is on His church, His body. Everything that Jesus did is to bring all things together in Christ, to have a glorious bride. And maybe in a week or two, it won't be next week, but in a week, I want to start talking about the bride of Christ and that relationship. It's not the body itself, folks. It's actually a special part of the body. Amen? And I want to be the bride. I want to be a John, you know. I want to be right there against Jesus' breast. I want to be close to the Lord. But every member working together in unity will produce or release the life of Christ. Now, I want to talk about this, please. Struggles in relationships. Has anybody here ever had a struggle in a relationship? How many know that it's not just because you and I are hanging around together? You can hang around people. You may have to work with somebody. You know, you haven't got any choice. You just have to work with this person. And you can be working the same job, doing the same task, but you're certainly not going to be united with them in your heart, right? If there's a disconnect. So the problem in relationships is not that we haven't spent enough time together, because sometimes people can spend a lot of time together and hate each other. The problem is that there is a disconnect internally to the head, Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus called us to love even our enemies, to love everybody? And that's only possible by the grace of God as we're connected to the head, Jesus, as we're in relationship with him, as we're in fellowship with him, because we have bowed our soul to the Lord and we've met him in that sweet place of harmony. And then there is a supernatural love called agape love, love of God, where we can do things that naturally were never possible. We can forgive people that have hurt us that naturally is impossible, but possible by the grace of God. He is the source of all life. And if we're internally connected to him, we will have fellowship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Acts 24 and verse 16, Paul said, "I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men." I strive, he said, to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. He's talking about external relationships with people and an internal relationship with God. You and I sometimes can be pretty good at least presenting a good image of ourselves to the world. And even with the right intent that I want to bless the Lord, I might want to leave a good example, and I want people to give God praise when they see my good conduct or the way that I present myself to the world. Are you hearing me? In other words, you don't want to do something to ruin your testimony. But that is, folks, mostly an outward thing. God is saying it has to go deeper than that. Because the offense towards God is an offense that's created in a heart and in a mind that is undisciplined. You see, if I allow my thoughts to go into lust or into greed or into anger or hatred or unforgiveness, I can act friendly and smile and shake a hand, but in my heart, God sees everything. And God wants us to be cleansed internally, externally. And you know as well as I do that a day doesn't go by, well, maybe you've arrived, but where something may not happen, or something will happen, somebody will offend you, or some nice chick walks by and, you know, you allowed yourself to stray before catching it. What do you do? If you sin, God forbid that we sin. We should fear God. Amen. We should know that even our thoughts are he hears it all. He sees it all. And he wants us to be internally pure too. And that means that when I catch myself, and the Spirit of God pokes me and says, "What are you doing?" That's when I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. If you get something in your eye, you don't walk around for a month with something in your eye. It's like, man, I'm getting this thing out of here. You know, I want it out now. Because it can mess you up if you leave it in there. Besides the discomfort, it's constant irritation. When you sin internally, immediately, everybody say immediately.
Immediately.
Take it to God. Confess it. Renounce it. Say no to it. In the name of Jesus, you have power to do so. Because the power of sin has been broken in your life if you're born again, if you're in Christ. So when you have an evil thought, you can't always stop the evil thoughts, but you can stop the entertainment of it. Amen? Because the demons will come up and try to sow a thought, and you're just going to say, ah, no, not going there. And if you did, you say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And you know what the Lord does? He forgives you. Stay clean. Stay pure. Right away, deal with it. If you got something, an infection in your hand, don't wait. Deal with it right away. And what the enemy does is he tells people that it's no big deal. You know? Oh, you don't need to get that pencil lead out of your hand. It's no big deal. Everybody else has one anyways. And so you leave it in there, and guess what? It starts to spread. Remember the old graphite pens? Were the old ones that were lead? Yeah. Boy, if you got stuck with a pencil, it's like you get blood poisoning. It can mess you up. It'd kill you if you didn't deal with it. What do? Right away, you get rid of it. Don't. If you get angry at your spouse, if you get into a fight, what do? Do you pout? Do you just stay angry and vindictive and I'm just going to make you suffer for what you did to me? Guess who's really suffering? You are. No, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger. Deal with it as soon as you can. Sometimes you got to walk away and go pray. I've walked away sometimes when we've had a spat and it hurt to pray. It was a struggle even to pray because I was just mad. And I have a right to be mad because that was unfair. And it was robbing me of my joy. So I walk away and I say, Lord, please bless her and let's bring peace into our relationship. And you know, I'm amazed that actually God does that. He actually answers prayer. And next thing you know, we're smiling and we're happy again. We're working it out. But if you allow those things to go, what happens is you end up storing it up. It's like sweeping the dirt under the rug. At first, you don't notice it, but after a while, it begins to bulge, you know? It collects. And then you end up blowing up on each other sometimes, or it ends up in divorce even, because you didn't deal with the issue when it was in its infancy. You got to take care of it. Root it out immediately. So if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, thank God. You want to walk in spiritual health. Stay clean. When you mess up, the Spirit will tell you, don't put it off. Deal with it right away. If you need to reconcile, say, honey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You may need a little time. Go pray first. Get in the right spirit. Wait on God's timing. But as soon as possible, deal with it so that you don't allow that disease to spread further into your relationship. Amen? And then the second thing again is that we need the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? So that we can be effective in our witness. And presenting Christ to the world, they're going to see the reality, the substance who is Christ. I know there's some people that think, I went to church last Sunday, I'm good. But they don't abide in Him, they don't continue, and they don't pray for their daily bread. They're not staying filled with the Spirit. And so they do good for maybe a half a day. You know, sometimes if it's a really good service, I'm good for about a day. But if I don't continue, You know, in my walk, in my relationship, and stay connected to the head, my body starts to get weak. My walk gets weak. I start finding that my thoughts are getting the best of me, the bad thoughts. Because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you can only be spiritually minded as you continue to abide in Him. You pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you will not do what your sin nature tells you to do. You don't have to. The same God who desires to forgive you also desires to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit so you can be an effective witness. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Ephesians 4:16 from the New Living Translation, it says this. I'm going to finish. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Notice it says He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Again, we can come together and we can be a congregation. And we can have no interest in really interconnecting and knowing where we are and how we fit and how we work as a body. But God wants us to be united in Him, in Christ, in the Spirit, so that we will be a complete, functioning, effective body that will present Christ to the world. That the world will see the harmony, the unity, the sincere love of the brethren that we have. Because we're connected to Him who is love. Not just because we're trying harder, but because we're walking in the Spirit and love automatically. We're melted together by the fire of God. And we become one. So as each part does its own special work, it helps the others grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What the world needs now. Amen. All you need is love. I want to know what love is. And I'm telling you here, the true love is God's love. Amen. The agape love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us even when we weren't looking for Him, even when we didn't love Him. He loved us first. And now He invites us to come into His salvation, to be free, amen, from the power and the bondage and the penalty of sin, to be united with His body, to grow up into Him and to be made beautiful for the day when Jesus shall come for His church, His bride, the prepared ones. Are you ready to meet Jesus today?
Yeah.
If Jesus were to come today, are you ready to meet Him? Do you have internal health? Do you have spiritual health today? And do you have the power of God in your life? Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Ask yourself this before the Lord. Lord, am I spiritually healthy? Maybe there's something that God's been dealing with you about. Maybe there's some unforgiveness there. Somebody has offended you and you're just holding it against them and you don't want to let them go because they hurt you and they don't deserve to be let go. You know what? We didn't deserve what Jesus did. But God's love compelled Jesus to go to the cross. Likewise, it's His love that will enable us to forgive others who hurt us. And we need His love. You need to connect to the head. You need to ask the Lord right now, dear Lord Jesus, I'm asking You for grace. I'm asking You for the ability to forgive others. And if you're here today and you don't feel like you've had that shower on the inside, that you have a clean heart, and you want a clean heart, you want to walk out of here squeaky clean, just ask the Lord to do it. Just come to Him right now and say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I believe You died on that cross for my sins, Lord. And I come to You as my advocate, as my defense lawyer, Lord, and I'm asking You to wash me in Your blood. Purify my heart. Forgive me for all that, Lord, I've done against You and against others. And Father, I'm asking You also that You baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. I want to be united in you, in Christ, and united in the body. Lord, reveal to me your will, your purpose for which I was created. I realize I'm part of something bigger than myself. And Lord, I want to serve you. And I want to be a part of what you're doing. Show me where I fit in. Show me what I am called to do, to honor you, to glorify you. You know, based upon everything that Jesus did for us, it's our reasonable service to offer him our bodies now as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.